Thank you.
All right. Oh, hang on. Ms. Delegate, just really quickly, while we're talking about the province, earlier we spoke of GRCA, so there were cuts of 50% for flood studies and whatnot at the conservation authorities. Has your association taken any stance on that, or have they reached out to, you know, to Clarington's MPPs or the minister with respect to those cuts?
That's a tricky question. Where the flood, where that money came from.
So the question's actually a really easy one, is if you've reached out with comment on those cuts.
The money was used for flood forecasting. So as it stands right now, CLOCA is not at the table with us in emergency management and flood mitigation and prevention. So the answer would be no.
Okay, so you may want to consider, because in the grand scheme of things, this does impact you as well as everyone who suffers flooding in Ontario. Good, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Foster.
All right, the next delegate is Mr. Jeff Mitchell.
Morning, Mayor Foster, members of council and staff. First thing I'd like to do is just congratulate my old friend Joe Caruana on his retirement. Our sons played hockey together many years ago, and as far as I recall, at any hockey rink I was ever at, Joe loved to be the center of attention, so I was kind of surprised by Andy's comments. Anyway, congrats to Joe. This presentation, and others that you've already heard, is really a call for help. Not the kind of help that we need or that anyone needs when an emergency arises, like a burning house or rising floodwaters. We are getting a ton of help in that regard from the mayor himself, our councillors, municipal staff like Andy Allison, Chief Weir, our wonderful firefighters, Operations Director Fred Horvath and his staff, and many, many different volunteer groups. We are deeply grateful for that help and the vision shown by Clarington Council in taking the lead on flood management in Ontario. No, the help we need now is to fix a problem that we did not create and do not have the wherewithal to fix ourselves, and that is the erosion of our shoreline. I say our because it works well with SOS, but what I really mean is our and your shoreline. The shoreline in front of my home on West Beach Road is enjoyed by all residents of Clarington and visitors to Clarington. The beach is a public amenity. But when someone walking the beach gets to the Westside Marsh Outlet, there is a hard stop, because the beach stops. It wasn't always like that, as you've heard, prior to the building out of the St. Mary's Shipping Pier. Some would like you to believe that the pier has not caused this problem. That's like NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman saying there's no scientific proofs that hits to the head cause brain damage. Most of us don't believe him, but he's running a big business, so we all know what he's protecting. When Clarington Council asked CLOCA in July 2017 to study the problem, expressly mandating the need for a Cedar Crest Beach erosion control engineering solution that would form part of an entire waterfront plan, we were hopeful that meaningful action would result, not only for the benefit of homeowners, but for all Clarington residents and visitors to Clarington. When Baird Coastal Engineers released their study in the summer of 2018, setting out four options for protecting the Cedar Crest Beach shoreline, we were thrilled. But then CLOCA presented their report to the CLOCA board. The PDCA board, on behalf of the Port Darlington community, and in particular the residents of Cedar Crest Beach Road, respectfully but strongly maintains that the CLOCA board report, staff report, is not a fair or responsible presentation of the shoreline erosion hazard and the solutions required to address the problem. Why? You've heard a lot about it already, because the report spends an inordinate amount of time focusing on issues that have nothing to do with the shoreline hazard itself. CLOCA completely reframed the terms of reference for the shoreline hazard study by their own admission to include an examination of flood risks, and they used this as an excuse for essentially absolving themselves and St. Mary's of the responsibility of addressing the core problem. PDCA fundamentally disagrees with this approach, and we think that you should too, because it unnecessarily conflates the erosion and flooding risks within the entire Port Darlington area. It takes a very specific problem, shoreline protection, in a specific zone, Cedar Crest Beach, and buries it, with excessive discussion of flood risks and land use controls that serve no purpose other than to cast doubt on the merits of addressing a solvable problem directly. The report doesn't even bother to endorse any of the shoreline protection options put forth by the coastal engineers hired to study the specific problem and who did, in fact, propose a number of viable solutions. Now, lest anyone should think that the current risk posed by the rising lake level is grist for Klokas Mill, residents have never denied that passive flooding from Lake Ontario and the marshes is a possibility if 2017 levels are reached and exceeded. However, the main problem, even at these times, as you've heard, is wave energy and wave uprush, and the shoreline restoration solutions recommended by Baird would mitigate that wave energy and uprush even in high water episodes, making it far easier for residents to protect their homes while preventing further erosion. The replenishment of the beach that was lost to years of erosion would also prevent further erosion and flooding, just as it does in the West Beach area, where wave energy is allowed to dissipate as waves run out, as you could see in Bart's video. The flooding contemplated by CLOCA is riverine-based, as Pauline has pointed out, and you have already heard compelling evidence from her questioning the validity of the models that CLOCA claims support predictions of 7-foot deep floodwaters on West Beach. Conservation Ontario's document called Class Environmental Assessment for Flood Erosion Control Projects addresses, quote, projects undertaken by conservation authorities which are required to protect human life and property in previously developed areas from an impending erosion problem, end quote. For whatever reason, CLOCA staff did not feel obliged to follow this guideline, nor did they feel obliged to examine in detail the obvious relationship between the St. Mary's Pier and the resulting eradication of the Cedar Crest Beach on the east side of it. This is disturbing to us and truly begs the question, why? Instead, the featured recommendation, as you've heard, in the CLOCA staff report is that all of the properties on Cedar Crest Beach Road and West Beach Road should be purchased by the municipality on a willing buyer, willing seller basis. PDCA's position about this whole voluntary disposition thing is that it is ethically wrong and economically unfeasible. The one-time cost to the municipality could very well exceed $50 million for purchase and removal and all that entails of about 50 homes. It doesn't matter whether that's all in 1 year or over the next 50 years. The municipality would also lose at least $300,000 in annual property tax revenue in perpetuity. With a price tag of $16 million on the preferred protection option, voluntary disposition does not strike us as being the cost-effective approach that CLOCA staff make it out to be. More to the point, this recommendation, if adopted along with the new building restrictions, would drive property values down over time and deny us the shoreline protections that are needed and deserved. So I ask you, do you really want to saddle future councils and taxpayers with costs that will be several times more than the cost of fixing the problem while still having an unprotected shoreline that will benefit no one? So we have a number of requests. The first request is that you not receive the CLOCA staff report because it doesn't address in good faith or remediate the shoreline erosion problem as requested by council. It leaves homeowners exposed to an ongoing erosion and wave uprush hazard. It exposes the municipality of Clarington and taxpayers to future costs that far exceed the cost of fixing the problem. However, if you've already received the report, or if you choose to receive it, then we have further recommendations. And we would ask that in terms of the actual recommendation around voluntary disposition, that you not commence consultations for the development of this program because an informal willing buyer, willing seller arrangement already exists, and we would like it to remain an informal arrangement. Again, it exposes homeowners to severe loss in property value over time. It discourages, if not prevents, future investment to remediate a problem that isn't going away and is easily fixed. And again, it will cost taxpayers many times more than the cost of remediating the problem and provide no ancillary benefits to taxpayers, such as increased or enhanced public space along the Bowmanville shore. Third, the council pursue implementation of options two or three of the Baird report or some other type of breakwater structure without funding from potential partners. Four, the council instruct CLOCA to initiate a Class EA pursuant to options two and three of the Baird report, if that's the process, and I'm not entirely sure of what is. All I know is I think that the Conservation Authority is responsible for initiating Class EAs. We would ask that council reject a CLOCA recommendation that would restrict or deny homeowners the right to rebuild their homes if required for any reason. We ask that council adopt recommendation four of the CLOCA staff report dealing with road improvements. My road, West Beach Road, is a perfect example of what you can accomplish with a very minimal amount of extra gravel, raising that road up and holding the marsh back. And last, the council vigorously implement CLOCA's recommendation number six, seeking support from St. Mary's Cement in the implementation and financing of future costs of planning and building structures designed to protect the Cedar Crest Beach shoreline. St. Mary's really could be the hero here if they would take meaningful action to help. I see I have a little bit of time, and I would just say that it has been asked if we've been in touch with our members of parliament. I have, in fact, had a meeting with Aaron O'Toole. He was sympathetic. His idea was that if there were funds made available by the federal government for infrastructure issues that weren't tied to sort of private homes, that application could be supported to do something like that to help us down there. But somehow this idea that we've got private homes down there and that's all we're defending.
You're moving an extra 2 minutes, Councillor Neal. 1 minute, seconded by Councillor Zwart. All in support, opposed, carried.
So that's sort of where we left it. He did indicate to me as well that he himself or his staff would participate in any exercise designed to bring the parties together at the same table to discuss the issues and is only waiting for that invitation. I am a member of the Community Relations Committee with St. Mary's, and you should know that at the meetings that we have, we really are not permitted to even discuss these issues. We discuss only matters
of operations.
Mr. Mitchell,
I do need you to wind up.
Sorry?
I do need you to wind up.
I'm winding up. So that's why you might not have heard more about that before. And that's it.
Thank you. Councillor Neal.
So your number three there is, can you spell out exactly what that means? Because are you saying, when you say pursue implementation, does that mean pursue building it?
Find the money, whether it's from St. Mary's, working with St. Mary's, from a donor with deep pockets, whether it's from the federal or provincial governments, somebody has to act on our behalf to find the money to build out one of these two preferred options, or some, as I'm saying, some other type of breakwater structure. There are all sorts of breakwater structures in Georgian Bay that protect the shoreline there. I don't know how they got built.
But this says, through the chair, this says with or without funding from potential partners. So when I read that, to me that means even without the involvement of the province or the federal government, you're saying the PDCA's request is that basically council do exactly what, though?
Well, the town finds the money over time to buy out properties. And I don't know how, and maybe they wouldn't accept this proposal by CLOCA, but over time you are going to presumably find upwards of $50 million.
Based on what, though? Based on what, through the chair?
Based on cost of purchasing homes and the cost of tearing them down and decommissioning wells and septic systems and all of that.
No, but that's CLOCA's suggestion, but CLOCA's not writing the check, right?
They're, that's true, so and it's that's easy why I say maybe you will reject that.
It's easy for them to suggest that.
Maybe you will reject that.
I think there's a pretty good, I think there's a pretty good possibility that'll get rejected, but I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, but I guess I just find that I'm trying to clarify exactly what the PDCA is asking Clarington to do. That's what I'm getting at, so.
Advocate for us.
Just advocate.
Bring the governments to the table that need to be there who do have the money if Clarington doesn't. $16 million to me sounds like a drop in the government bucket. Maybe not the municipal government bucket, but federal and provincial governments. We have a deep pocketed, obviously, owner of property in the Wilmot Creek area who's just spent $2 million to completely protect their shoreline with a brand new rock wall, which I don't know if it will work. I hope it does. But they knew that they had to do something. St. Mary's has not acknowledged that they need to do anything, and that's a problem.
Through the chair, is there a lot of sediment building up on the west side of that pier? Do you know?
The west side of?
Of that pier.
Which pier?
The St. Mary's Pier. Like, is there?
Yes.
There is, okay.
That's been clearly stated in the Baird report.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do we have anything further? Seeing none, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, members of council, we are at the noon break. We still have a couple of delegations and a presentation. Okay, I guess I will see you back at 1 o'clock. Thank you. Alrighty, folks, we'll call the meeting back to order, please. So our next delegant is Andy Brown, speaking about the CLOCA report and Port Darlington. Mr. Brown, welcome.
Is this, it is on, okay, great. I gotta switch to other glasses. So I liked hearing the previous presentations because it certainly lends weight to what I'm about to say. And that is, there isn't enough proof, reliable proof certainly to proceed with approving what CLOCA is presenting. I had a professional planner look at what's been presented by CLOCA and what exists now for zoning and policy and what CLOCA is allowed to do in terms of development or development applications. And she's seen what they propose, and she agrees with us in that is there isn't enough information here to give it any credence. It certainly isn't something that you should approve just based on a misleading report by CLOCA. The information that they use and turn around words to make it seem like it's a devastating situation, it just isn't. And you've seen enough evidence. You've seen the past history. You've seen what's going on right now. We're all facing it, but to approve what CLOCA has presented is not really reliable. One of the things that CLOCA had tried to do was get federal funding, and it was denied, but there's an opportunity in the fall to make another application to get that funding. And they haven't, I don't know if they're going to do that, but they should be doing that. So this is an avenue that they haven't exhausted. The other thing about the zoning changes and the policy changes to make it more restrictive down in our area, they already have restrictive language in their policy. They don't need to pile on and make it more restrictive and prevent people from doing a simple thing like just trying to fix their house. Certainly if it's affected, it's flooded, it needs to be rebuilt. The answer shouldn't be no. The answer should be Of course. And if they add in this restrictive language, then we wouldn't be able to do that. And certainly we all moved in knowing that there is a residence there, and if it gets damaged, we would just fix it. But if we're prevented from doing that, then that's a negative that we can't support. The other part about the Baird report, where it does suggest a resolution to the wave uprush that we all wish we have. For CLOCA to turn around and say that there's potential sediment loss by St. Mary's Pier turns around what the report actually says, and says that it actually does prevent the sediment from going onto the beach and, of course, causing the loss. The money to pay for these things, short of winning the lottery, we need support from you, and we need support from St. Mary's, of course, and from the provincial and federal government. It's not a monumental task, I don't think. I think it can be done. And if CLOCA adds their support to that, like we think that they should, I think it can be done. So I didn't really plan on speaking too long. I hope, and I do have copies of this report. It's an opinion piece by a planner. I know it's been submitted. I hope it's been circulated. I do have copies if you don't have it. But generally speaking, the resolution number 38 that CLOCA is seeking approval for is not in the public interest, and it's not good planning. And really, this is really a lot of what this is about, is planning. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Members of committee, do we have any questions? Councillor Neal.
Through the chair, sir, so this letter is, it's on a lawyer's letterhead.
Yeah.
But it's signed by a planner, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But she said, sort of repeatedly says that this is misleading information, misrepresented, misleading information. Mm-hmm. So what exactly, but she doesn't say what's misleading. So what, the data presented is misleading. So she uses that word over and over again, misleading. So what's, mm-hmm. what exactly is she saying is misleading?
Yeah, well, the presentations before me, certainly Pauline had addressed the flawed data that they're using for their modeling. So this is part of what the misleading information is. It's flawed, it's misrepresented, certainly.
But what information exactly, though?
Well, I addressed one about the Baird report, where CLOCA's report turned around the wording to make it seem like the pier might actually be causing sediment loss, but the Baird report says that it does cause sediment loss. So it's that kind of wordplay that I find repulsive. And obviously my planner does too.
Okay, just sounds like this is like something intentionally done on part of CLOCA. Is that what she's saying?
No, it's her professional opinion.
Okay, but is she saying that, she doesn't say they're in error, she says it's misleading and misrepresented, so that sounds a little more intentional to me than, is that what she's suggesting?
Based on the information that she had from a planning perspective, seeing what they propose about the zoning changes, based on the information they're presenting in the report, is misleading to make you believe that they need those zoning changes approved. That's what she's saying.
Okay, thank you.
All right, do we have anything further? Sir, thank you.
Thanks.
Councillor Hooper and Councillor Jones, as you are two of our CLOCA reps, probably makes sense. And we'd be dealing with delegates 7.4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Refer to staff because they're working on this is probably an appropriate motion.
I'll move that.
All right. Second that, Councillor Hooper. Do we have questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
So the motion is to refer it to, did
So refer to staff, the delegations. They're already working on a report coming, so they'll take the information that the delegates have brought forward into consideration as they prepare that report.
Okay, and the report that our staff is going to bring back is what exact issues is it going to address?
Mr. Allison.
The report, first and foremost, will respond or provide a municipal position in relation to, I think it's resolution 38 from CLOCA. There's obviously some issues in there that are not issues that are front and center in terms of the municipal interest in the issues going forward. But to the extent that that resolution makes a request of municipal council to do something, to the extent the residents have requested that something be done, staff's intention is to provide council with the best information we can so that council can make an informed decision as to how to best go forward. The delegations this morning were very informative, certainly for me, and I think that senior staff are here listening to them. They'll be helping prepare the report. The intention is to provide as much information to council as we responsibly can to allow you to make an informed decision going forward as to how best to deal with all the issues that have been identified this morning, and even one or two that haven't been specifically identified in the delegations this morning, but are part of the resolution that came from CLOCA that council will need direction on.
And through the chair, the discussion on a working group, you know, I thought there was some direction to try and establish that involving the provincial government, the federal government. Is there any, does that have any legs or not?
At this point, it has no legs. As Sarah indicated, that working group isn't going forward anymore and further anymore. That was a mutually arrived at decision between the residents and municipal staff. The working group initially was set up to deal with shoreline erosion and bringing federal and provincial St. Mary's, CLOCA, municipal staff to the table to try and see what can be done. The mandate of the working group morphed, I'll say, at my direction to deal with other issues that were really flood response related, because as a working group, it seemed a convenient forum to have those discussions. But I believe, as Ms. Delegate indicated, that process sort of ran its course and it's sort of self-sustaining at this point, so there really wasn't a need for the working group to continue. The fact is there was never any representation from either the provincial or the federal government at that working group. I take it as part of the request going forward is that request be forwarded. I know the residents have actually on their own sent a letter to the federal government and the provincial government asking for their support. The letter also went to St. Mary's, so I suspect what you'll get back from staff will be a recommendation to see how best to carry that request forward.
All right, Councillor Jones.
Through the chair, if I could just ask, so in the report that'll be coming to us, will there be any information on what other municipalities along Lake Ontario are doing? And there must be other similar issues across the lake.
This is a difficult question to answer because, yes, there are similar issues, but most municipalities will tell you the situation is unique. You've got Toronto Island, you've got flooding situations. I think the focus of this will be on shoreline erosion as it relates to the residents of Cedar Crest Beach. In the main, that's what the focus will be. To the extent it's necessary to see what's happening in other municipalities and the extent to which that would bear on a decision of council, that will be a part of the report. Council passed a resolution, for example, that we be invited to the table with the Premier's internal working group to deal with flooding issues. This issue here this morning, though, to the extent that I'm understanding the residents, isn't really so much about flooding as it is about shoreline protection and the work that needs to be done to respond to that concern, which, as the residents indicated, first surfaced, I believe, in 2015 from the residents.
Okay, I think I had Councillor Anderson, you had your hand up, did you not?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Okay, and then Councillor Hooper will get you.
Yeah, through the chair. Councillor Neal and Councillor Jones touched on most of what I wanted to ask. I know the residents, they did ask about bringing the provincial government, all levels of government to the table to discuss this matter, which, and that I guess would include St. Mary's Men as well. So I was wondering if your report will encompass some of that and also look into avenues of funding from the federal government and the provincial government.
The answer to your question is yes and yes. The report definitely will deal with the request going forward. I heard at least three of the delegates say they want the request coming through council. So that would, I think, with virtual certainty, be one of the recommendations, is that council endorse a request to invite the different levels of government to the table to help with a funding solution. In terms of funding opportunities, the last delegate, Mr. Brown, did indicate that there was an application made by CLOCA, that there is another funding envelope available there, and we are in discussions, have been in discussions with CLOCA, and the report at some level will deal with that, just to indicate what we've done in the past and what we may be able to do going forward in terms of formal grant applications and funding through those sources as well.
Good, because I was thinking of doing a resolution along that line, so I will await your report then before I do anything further.
I think the direction is clear to staff. To the extent that there's funding opportunities, whatever form they may take, that's something the staff would be pursuing and bringing to your attention. There are some nuances, some complications, and the delegates made reference to some of them this morning. EA work, whether the Conservation Authority could be the proponent of works that might be perceived by many to be mostly private benefit. I believe MP O'Toole made reference to that concern, so it will deal with that issue and the potential or the extent to which that might complicate the process. There's a lot on the table, frankly, that needs to be considered by council. But hopefully we'll give you as much information as you need to make an informed decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hooper.
Yeah, thank you. And that was part of my question was going to be exactly what Councillor has just spoken about. Now, one thing that that we probably should be more quickly get on is the fact that I think that representation to CLOCA should be that they do make application in regards to that potential opportunity for some sort of funding, and not to let it just sort of sit. And I hope they're being proactive about that. And
I think I can respond by saying I know they're being proactive. I just got the nod from Ms. Burke. She's been in communication with them over that process. We did join them in the application that was made, I'm going to say over a year ago. The application was denied. There were some very big numbers in there. I think the project at a minimum had to be $20 million in order to receive any glance. But I think the short answer is they are aware of it. They've been talking to us, and jointly we'll make sure that we're not going to miss that funding opportunity if it's available.
Okay, and thank you for that, through the chair. So just so that I have it clear in my mind, that will there be in the recommendation that all parties sort of get together and start discussing things a little more? I don't know whether you can do that or not.
I'll say with 100% certainty, yes.
Okay, thank you.
That will be part of the recommendation.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, anything further? Seeing none on the motion, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. The next delegate is Peter Close, and that's with regards to report CLD-013-19. And I don't see Mr. You're right. I don't see Mr. Close here. Oh, sorry, Peter.
What?
No, perfect. It has been a very long time since I've seen you.
How are you? Sorry.
It has been a very long time going, where is he?
Sorry.
We both might have aged a little bit.
Yeah, you look younger and I look older. How does that happen?
Oh, I like it.
Good
Peter,
to see you.
Peter, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time, everyone. Hi, how are you? I'm not going to have to, I'm just really here to answer any questions if you have anything. Everything is in the report. It was very well done. I had quite a long discussion with bylaw. When this came about, and really it started with a change to the Exotic Animal Bylaw Act in 2012, which we were unaware of. Prior to that, Jungle Cat World was exempt by name in the bylaw, and then it was changed in 2012 to be any facility that is accredited by the Canadian Accredited Zoos. And what was interesting, we couldn't figure out why Bowmanville continued to be exempt by name, and we weren't, why that change in 2012. And what had happened is someone had taken the Toronto bylaw, cut and paste it, and put it into the Clarington, word for word, verbatim. And in the Toronto bylaw, Toronto Zoo's exempt, but that's because they're owned by the City of Toronto. So it makes sense. So when they migrated it over to Clarington, they just fit in Bowmanville Zoo, which is a private-run facility. And so, and then they put us as, you know, so it didn't make any sense. But we weren't made aware of it until a few months ago. So we completely agree with the report that the bylaw should be amended, that we be exempt by name. And we also agree with the annual inspections by, I'm assuming, Clarington Animal Services. They said a member, but they already come and do our kennel inspections, so they could probably do both at the same time. One thing in the report that was incorrect was that CASA does not do yearly inspections. They only inspect every 5 years. But the OSPCA, prior to them recently going through some hardships, we were inspected every year by the OSPCA, which was fantastic. We have a great relationship with them. And whether or not that is something we'd want to do in the future, down the road when they rewrite all their own bylaws and stuff. So, that's pretty much it. So we agree with the report. It's fantastic. So whatever, if there's any questions or concerns, I'm really just here to answer any questions.
Members of committee, Councillor Neal.
So through the chair, so you're okay with a yearly inspection?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The report wasn't clear who would be doing the inspection. So either it would be the provincially, the OSPCA would take it on again. I don't think with where they're going, I can't see that happening. But I would assume that Clarington Animal Services would make sense to do the inspections.
Okay. Thank you.
That's just our recommendation. Whoever you think.
All right. Anything further? Councillor Hooper.
I just had one question, and I think Councillor Neal asked in regards to this veterinarian or vet clinic.
Yes.
He would make recommendations in regards to anything that so you sort of have an inspection, sort of, but not officially, right?
Sorry, say that again?
The vet that you have, would he come and make some sort of an inspection?
No, we go, the vet comes anytime we do vaccinations, so he doesn't do just a general inspection. The disagreement, the medical aspect of it, the disagreement that we had with CASA is with the new accreditation standards, they required a veterinarian facility, and they required biweekly visits by vet, and that's been challenged by Saskatoon. It's been challenged by a few parks at this point, and we just felt it wasn't necessary considering we've had a long-standing relationship with Cavan Hills, which is 20 minutes away, and we also work with Wendy Corver, who was the previous vet with Bowmanville Zoo. We have a long-standing relationship with her also. So to put that money into something that wasn't, it just made no sense to us, and we challenged it. If it had been something like a generator, we're spending $70,000 on a backup generator. That makes sense to us. That is something that we use, and that's very important. We get that. But we just didn't feel that it was a necessity.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you.
Councillor Jouart.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what type of thing would the OSPCA be looking for in their annual report or their annual inspections?
Well, they don't do the inspections anymore.
In the past, what were they looking for?
Animal welfare care. We have everything recorded in regards to our record keeping. We're well beyond any other wildlife park. We get updates. I get updates in real time, what animals are fed and by whom, and when their avian enrichment is done. It's very regimented, and everything is documented. So when they come, it's an hour walk around. They go with one of our senior animal care staff, and they walk around and make sure the animals are happy and healthy and whatnot. And we actually, and if there is ever a concern by the public, they make a visit, which we never had. But we actually have something on our website that indicates if you see anything as a visitor, please contact the OSPCA. We take it very animal welfare very seriously, first and foremost.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, anything further? Seeing none, thank you. Might I suggest we alter the agenda to deal with that report now? So I need a motion to alter the agenda. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Anderson. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. So if we can get CLD-013-19 on the floor. Councillor Schwartz, you'll move it. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hooper, questions or comments on that report? Councillor Neal.
So who will do the inspections?
Ms. Greentree.
Through the chair, no, not Mrs. Greentree. bylaw enforcement
it took,
and animals.
It took me a second.
bylaw enforcement, as well as an animal services rep, would be doing them from today's perspective. It's quite possible, given the uniqueness of the animals that you have, we may actually contact the SPCA to have one of their staff attend with them, but it'll fall under the umbrella of MLE.
Thank you.
All right, anything further? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mr. Close, thank you.
It was very nice. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, we're on Section 8, which is Communications for Information. I've got the GRCA minutes, Bowmanville BIA minutes, and Kawartha Conservation minutes. We have a mover for all three. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Any polls? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, the Bowmanville BIA minutes.
Okay, we'll pull 8.2. Anything else? Okay, so on 8.1 GRCA and 8.3 Kawartha, call the question. All in support? Opposed, carried. Councillor Neal, you're moving the BIA minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Thank you.
I just had a question about this digital Main Street not being done with authorization. So from the Business Advisory Center of Durham. So what happened there? I don't know, I'm just curious.
Do you have an answer, Councillor Hooper?
Well, I'll just leave it. There's some, how do I say this? Administrative questions that haven't been answered fully. I don't know whether other BIAs in the area have taken advantage of the situation, but just a word of caution, just that they should be investigating everything to the fullest. I'll just leave it that way. I just can't believe that parent organization, the OBIA, endorsed something like this without not inspecting all aspects of it. And I'll just leave it there. I don't want to say too much that might get me a legal issue.
So I think the answer is we'll get you an answer.
I'd like to know before Wednesday, if that's possible. I'm supposed to be a member of the Business Advisory Center of Durham, so I'd kind of like to know.
So, Councillor, you might be in the best position to get that answer. So, you know, we'll ask.
That's
exactly
what I was going to say.
Yeah, we'll ask staff, but to commit to, I don't have an answer that I can give you, and I don't think our staff do. So we'll try, but I'd encourage you to use your relationships there as well.
So, through the chair, what is Digital Main Street? What is that?
So my understanding, help me out here, Councillor Hooper, where there were funds available for BIAs and I think other organizations as well that would enhance their digital presence, you know, help with web design, web presence, try to move small business forward on that.
So are they making changes to the website without talking BIA or something?
I think it's a matter of resources, and I think, and I've got to emphasize, I think that moving forward and applying for that money, as frequently happens, was done with the best of intentions. Maybe there could have been a little bit more consultation, but I think there was money on the table, and they wanted to make sure that the money wasn't left behind. And I think I used the word think a bunch of times, and I'll underscore that.
And then I was just wondering that, am I reading this correctly, that they want to, the BIA wants the free parking in the lots eliminated? Like they don't want any more free parking, even in the parking lots? Is that, am I reading that correctly?
Councilor
Hurd, it says request like for elimination of two-hour free parking in municipal lots. The Board of Management reaffirms its previous decision to request elimination of that.
So actually, Ms. Greentree can answer that.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We'll take you off the hook, Councilor.
Through the chair, we do have a resolution that staff have outstanding to report back on, and it was a request to eliminate the two-hour free parking, so that when an individual parks their vehicle in the lot, currently, the first 2 hours are free, and beyond that, they pay whatever the rate is. I don't know it offhand. So we have received a letter from the Bowmanville BIA requesting the two-hour limit be removed and that the rates be more current.
So they want enforcement from like minute one, and they want to raise the parking rates?
They were requesting that I don't have the correspondence handy, but they were requesting that we look at the rates and the 2 hours. So that'll be coming back, a report from Clerk's Department in the future.
So Board of Management means BIA, right? Is that one and the same? Board of Management, BIA?
Can I weigh in on
sure.
this? Okay, so I think what the problem is that the lots are being somewhat abused, and I'm not going to point any fingers at any particular organization, but so that's why they want to sort of have staff look at that situation in regards to our major lot. Go there at 8:30 in the morning and try to park in the police department. I'll just leave it there.
All right, thank you.
All right, anything further on that? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Communications for direction, item 9.1, Region of Durham. This is the come into force date of construction act. If I could have motion, move to endorse. Seconded by Councillor Anderson. Questions or comments? Councillor Hooper.
Somebody just briefly explain what that is all about.
So there are a number of items. Andy?
I was looking over at Mr. McIver. I think you can respond, whoever's best.
Sorry, I was just having a bit of a problem. Like, we don't get the regional information in regards to what, all you get is a little bit of a letter.
We could almost start at the back in that
right.
What the province wants us to do is impossible to do because rules haven't been put into place yet. So the province is saying do blank, and we can't do blank. That's a simplistic answer. Mr. McIver, you want to go deeper into the issue? So this was construction liens and wonderful things.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, what was formerly the Construction Lien Act has been amended. It's now known as the Construction Act, and it has made modifications to the timing of payments under construction contracts. It's also got changes that relate to how construction disputes will be adjudicated, and the province has yet to put into place the administrative support to make those changes function. It has implications for our purchasing department and how we pay our contracts, and it potentially has implications for how we would deal with disputes. And so what the region is proposing and what staff agree with here is that that those coming into force dates be delayed by a year, get that necessary administrative support in place so that there's not a vacuum created.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Ms. McCarver.
Thank you. All right, with that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Okay, I saw. Are you opposed? Let's try that again. All in support? Opposed? Carried, because the one visualization is that wouldn't have. So the next is the Township of Mulmer. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the suggestion is that we move to endorse that. Councillor Hooper, you're moving that to endorse. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Schwartz, thank you. Questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Where is Mulmer? I got to ask.
It is a trick question. Does anybody know where Mulmer is? So I can tell you that, and I may take grief for having said this. It's the first time I've heard of the municipality.
Tougher. Yeah, great. Is the province not looking at whether they should be standalone at this point? Just kidding.
Governance review?
I see they're cutting the red tape there to. Anyway, a lot of cutting.
Is that your question?
Yeah, a lot of cutting the red tape going on, you know.
All right, so. Okay, it's not too far away from King. All right, with that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Region of Durham, and this is approval in principle of the Durham Community Energy Plan, and the recommendation is to refer to staff. If I could have a motion. You're making eye contact, Councillor Anderson, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Neal. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. 9.4, Petrolia. They would like to see OGRA and ROMA combine once again as a conference. Councillor Hooper, move to endorse. Seconded by Councillor Neal. Questions, comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Ajax, regarding the 2022 Ontario Summer Games bid. We probably endorse there. Councillor Neal, move to endorse. All right, seconded by Councillor Anderson. I took him instead of you, Councillor Hooper. If you've ever been in his car, the only thing that is on is sports news. Just so you know, the only thing. Questions, comments? Call the Councillor Hooper.
Would there be an opportunity? I don't know whether anybody can answer this or not, but if they do get the bid, will they sort of spread their wings a little bit and use some of the facilities that are available in other municipalities outside of Ajax a little bit?
I would think that we, our department, should be talking with them to think of the, sorry, let's try this again. So clearly, probably up to us to reach out to them for that. I know when the Pan Am Games came, businesses were very disappointed, for a lack of engagement. On the other hand, the businesses, you knew where the venues were, they had buses. I asked a number of the businesses that were complaining what they had done to reach out, and they, we didn't have anything here, they hadn't reached out either. So I think everyone needs to try to help themselves a bit.
Thank you.
So something for staff, Mr. Caruana. Maybe if that comes, put it on radar that we should reach out and figure out what we might be able to do or not.
I already have, Your Worship. Just for the information of Council, in 2000, we hosted, along with the rest of the Durham municipalities, we hosted the Ontario Summer Games at that point as well. And I know that it was a daunting venture for all of the municipalities. I would think that if they landed the bid, that obviously they would reach out to the municipality, but I'll make sure that staff's aware of that moving forward.
Perfect, thank you.
All righty, with that, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. You're gonna have the exact same question, Councillor Neal, I'm thinking. You know where this one is.
The home of the Petrolia Squires, I know where that one.
Oh, sorry, another Ajax. So this is regional government review. This is probably the most important of these. Item 9.6, if I could have a motion. Councillor Neal.
Motion receive.
Really? Okay. Do I have a seconder on the receive? Councillor Jones, questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Well, I'm just wondering, is anybody really listening in any of that? So, I don't know.
Okay, anything further on that? So I think this is worthwhile endorsing. I don't know if they're listening or not, but if they are, in fact, listening, suggesting that representation at the local level as well as you know, the upper level. So by receiving, you could be giving the impression to the province, if they're listening. I'm not convinced they are, but if they're listening, you could be giving the impression to the province that we'd prefer a single tier.
I'll withdraw the motion then.
All right. Do you have another motion, Councillor Neal?
Motion to endorse.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Will withdraw, and then we're a motion to endorse. I think you're right, Councillor Neal. Councillor Jones. Questions or comments on that? Call the question. Guess we're going to find out in August. All support. That was a trick. Opposed. Carried. Thank you. Okay, now we are on 9.7, Township of McNab Brayside. And this is regarding Government of Ontario and e-learning. Someone have a motion for me? Councillor Hooper.
Give you a motion to support.
All right. Seconded by, I'm going to take Councillor Anderson. Do you want to forward this to the school boards?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I thought. Questions, comments? Call the question, all in support. Opposed, that is carried. Okay, oh, she got it up. Okay, so where it's near Arnprior. Councillor Neal, we were ready. We were ready for that question this time. Okay. You know, it is interesting, sorry, we've already voted on that, but again, they're complaining about rural communities with you know, poor access to broadband, and I gotta tell you, no one is listening on the fact that urban municipalities need help on broad. It is getting so frustrating. All right, thank you for that therapy. Item 9.8, this is the correspondence from Mei Luong. The suggestion is to refer it to the CAO. Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jones. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
I was just a little concerned about some of the tone of this letter, you know, using misleading, misrepresenting, you know. I mean, I've got no issue with disagreeing with somebody, but say they're misleading, and that's, I think, going a little bit over the top. So, especially when it's on a lawyer's letterhead, I mean.
Anything further, Councillor Neal? I don't disagree. So I don't think that the staff at CLOCA are trying to be trying to mislead or misrepresent any facts. But that is a pretty strongly worded.
I actually considered bringing moving a motion to not receive it, but you know what's the point of that? But because of that, you know. So, anyway.
So by sending it to the CAO, it might there might be an opportunity for CLOCA to respond. Anything further? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Item 10, Mr. Presta was not able to stay with us. Mr. Allison, I think he's going to come back for planning.
That's something I'd like to explore with him, that possibility. I'd have to see how long the agenda is going to be and see whether that fits, but he indicated on his way out he'd make himself available when he could.
Okay. Councillor Neal?
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, why do we have presentations so far down the agenda? Like why wouldn't that be first on the agenda? You know, like.
So if I'm not mistaken, I think we used to, and then we decided to change that to make sure that members of the public were not inconvenienced. So delegations came first because presentations are done by staff who are being paid to do it. So we used to do that, and then we undid that.
He's a staff member from Durham Region. I'm sure he's got better things than to sit here for 2 hours and then decide he can't stay, you know?
So we'd have to review that in the procedural bylaw, but we... help me, Madam Clerk. It wasn't that long ago.
Through the chair, you are correct. It was 2015-ish that we switched that, and it was for the reason that you clearly stated that professionals, if you will, were put down the list so that the members of, like the residents, were able to speak first.
All right. All right. So the next section will be emergency and fire services.